The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 3, 1991 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, verse 260 through 287, and continues with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, verse 4.
Thereafter, Sanatana Goswami met the Lord again, and the Lord tested him in scorching heat during the month of Jaista. Tushtaya Prabhu Tare Pataila Vrindavan Adaitera Haste Prabhur Adabhuta Bhojan. Being pleased, the Lord sent Sanatana Goswami back to Vrindavana. After that, he was fed wonderfully by the hands of Sri Advaita Acharya. Nityananda Sange Jukti Koriya Nibrite Tare Pataila Gore Prema Procharite. After sending Sanatana Goswami back to Vrindavana, the Lord privately consulted with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He then sent him to Bengal to preach love of Godhead. Tabito Vallabha Bhatta Prabhu Remi Lila Krishna Name Artha Prabhu Tahare Kohila. Soon after, Vallabha Bhatta met the Lord at Jagannath Puri, and the Lord explained to him the import of the holy name of Krishna. Purport is Vallabha Bhatta is the head of the Vaishnava Sampradaya known as the Vallabha Acharya Sampradaya in Western India. There is a long story about Vallabha Acharya narrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, specifically in the 7th chapter of Antya Lila and the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the house of Vallabha Acharya on the other side of Prayag in a place known as Adaila Gram. Later, Vallabha Acharya saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri to explain his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very proud of his writings, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected him, telling him that a Vaishnava should be humble and follow in the footsteps of his predecessors. The Lord told him that his pride in being superior to Sridhar Swami was not at all befitting a Vaishnava. Pradumna Misre Prabhu Ramanandustane Krishna Katha Sanailo Kohitare Gune. After explaining the transcendental qualities of Ramananda Rai, the Lord sent Pradumna Misra to the residence of Ramananda Rai, and Pradumna Misra learned Krishna Katha from him. Gopinatha Patanayak Ramananda Brata Raja Mari Te Chilo Prabhu Hailo Chata. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved Gopinath Patanayaka, the younger brother of Ramananda Rai, from being condemned to death by the king. Ramachandra Puri Boye Bhikha Gatailo Vaishnavera Dukko Deki Artheka Rakila. Ramachandra Puri criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating. Therefore, the Lord reduced his eating to a minimum. However, when all the Vaishnavas became very sorry, the Lord increased his portion to half as much as usual. Brahmananda vitore hoya chodha bhuvana chodha bhuvane vaise jato jivagara. There are 14 planetary systems within the universe, and all living entities reside in those planetary systems. Dressing like human beings on pilgrimage, they all used to come to Jagannath Puri to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. মনুষ্য বেশ ধরি যাত্রীকে চলে প্রভুর দর্শনে করে আসি নীলা চলে। So according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there were residents from visitors from other planets, extraterrestrials, who would regularly come to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So they wouldn't be discovered, they disguised themselves as ordinary pilgrims coming to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. And that disguise, they would see the Lord. So also 500 years ago, this was a concern of the people, extraterrestrials. Nowadays people are interested in UFOs and visitors from other planets. But now, what will the visitors from other planets see? What is their worth seeing? At that time they would go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord of everyone who has come as a devotee. In the higher planetary systems, and even some of the lower, they knew the predictions about the Lord's coming. So they wanted to take advantage of the Lord's presence. So they also came to see the Lord. Ekodina siva sadi jato bhakta gana Mahaprabhu guna gaya kore kirtana. One day all the devotees headed by Shivas Thakur were chanting the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Suni bhakta gane kohe sakrara vachane Krishna rama gunachari ki karo kirtane. Not liking the chanting of his transcendental qualities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised them as if he were angry. What kind of chanting is this, he asked. Are you leaving aside the chanting of the holy name of the Lord? Audaktya korite hailo sabakar mon swatantra hoya sabe nashave bhuvan. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised all the devotees, telling them not to show impudence and spoil the entire world by becoming independent. Report, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned all his followers not to become independent or impudent. Unfortunately, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many upasampradaya, so-called followers, invented many ways not approved by the acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as the aula bhaula kurta bhaja nera dora vesha Sani Sahajiya Sakhi Bekhi Smarta Jata Gosai Ati Vadhi Chura Dhari and Gauranga Nagari. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The Aula Sampradaya, Baula Sampradaya and others invented their own ways of understanding Lord Chaitanya's philosophy without following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself indicates herein that all such attempts would simply spoil the spirit of his movement. The upasampradayas mentioned here, all introducing some material concepts in the name of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The bowels say that everything is a part of Krishna. Everything is the energy of Krishna. So this body is also a microcosm of Krishna glory. So everything that the body produces is pure. Everything the body does is pure. So to prove their point, they put tilak on with their human stool. And they do every conceivable activity with the body, including breaking the four regular principles, all with the idea that it's all pure because it's done by this body, which is microcosm of the total macrocosm of Krishna. By philosophical speculation, they are able to concoct anything. So they're called Prakrita Sohajiya because they introduce materialistic concepts in the name of following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apparently, they were chanting here the names of Lord Chaitanya again and again. Jai Gaur, Jai Gaur, Shri Did I go wrong or something? And Lord Chaitanya was objecting why you were chanting again and again. He was giving up the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Also, Srila Prabhupada didn't like it if people would go on chanting Prabhupada just unlimited times. He'd get impatient and want to hear the holy names of Krishna. 2-3 times, didn't matter. But sometimes devotees get carried away chanting the name of their guru again and 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 again. It's just going on and on and on. And we're the Hare Krishna movement. We want to follow what Lord Chaitanya wanted. A little bit of chanting the names of the Lord, chanting the names of the Guru is alright, but shouldn't be so much that it replaces the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So generally a few times is adequate to get a point across, offering the glories to the Guru. But here, Lord Chaitanya, he's getting angry and he's telling them, okay, don't just go on chanting my name, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. While he said that, there was a very amazing thing happened. Dosodike koti koti loka henakale Jaya Krishna Chaitanya boli kore kolahole. So while Lord Chaitanya was chastising his devotees, from all the different planetary systems and from all over, thousands and millions of people were just many thousands of people were outside. And this is what a description of what happened. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was apparently in an angry mood and chastising his devotees, many thousands of people outside loudly cried in a tumultuous voice, "All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu! Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Prajendra Kumar Jagatarite Prabhu Tumar Avatar!" All the people began to call very loudly, "All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now you have appeared to deliver the whole world. Bohudur haite ainu haya guru artho darasana diya prabhu karo kritartho." "Oh Lord, we are very unhappy. We have come from a long distance to see you. Please be merciful and show us your favor." So they are shouting like this outside to attract the attention of the Lord. Thousands of people had come from a long way, many light years away. Suniya lokera dhaino dhrodhila hidai bahire asi darasana dila dayamoy. When the Lord heard the humble petition made by the people, his heart softened. Being very merciful, he immediately came out and gave audience to all of them. Bohutule vale prabhu bolo hari hari uthila si hari dani chatur bhori. Raising his arms, the Lord asked everyone to chant loudly the vibration of the holy name of Lord Hari. There immediately arose a great stir, and the vibration of Hari filled all directions. Nitai Gaur Brimanandi Hari 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 Bol Hari 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 Bol. Can't hear anything. Hari Bol Hari 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 Bol. Prabhu Deki Preme Loka Anandita Mon Prabhu ke ishara bhole khodaye stavan. Seeing the Lord, everyone became joyful out of love. Everyone accepted the Lord as the Supreme and thus they offered their prayers. Stava sani prabhu ke kohena sinivas ghore gupta hao kene bahira prakash. While the people were offering their prayers unto the Lord, Srinivas Acharya sarcastically said to the Lord, "At home you wanted to be covered, why have you exposed yourself outside?" ke shikai lo eloke kohe konabat iha sabar mukodako dianijohat. Srinivasa Acharya continued, who has taught these people? What are they saying? Now you can cover their mouths with your own hand. Surjo joy che udoy hoy kori chahe lukaite bujite na paritoy che tumar chorite. It is as if the sun after rising wanted to hide itself. We cannot understand such characteristics in your behavior. Prabhu kohen sinivasa charo birambana sabe mele koro mor koteka lanjana. The Lord replied, my dear Sinivas, please stop joking. You have all combined together to humiliate me in this way. Ato vole loke kore sri suva drishtida abhyantare gela loke puna hai loka. Thus speaking, the Lord entered his room after glancing auspiciously upon the people out of charity. In this way, the desires of the people were completely fulfilled. Raghunatha dasa nitananda pase gela chiradari mahotsava tahaya kodila. At this time, Raghunath Das approached Sri Nityananda Prabhu and according to his order prepared a feast and distributed prasadam composed of chipped rice and curd. Purport, there is a special preparation in Bengal wherein chipped rice is mixed with curd and sometimes with sandesh and mango. A new prep. It is very palatable food offered to the deity and then distributed to the public. Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a householder at this time, met Nityananda Prabhu. According to his advice, he executed this festival of Dadi Chira Prasad. Who knows where that festival was held? Parihati Dham ki! Nu Parihati Dham ki! So, this is a special prasadam, very palatable food offered to the deity, distributed to the public. So here, this festival was performed in Panihati, and is still being relived in Panihati and New Panihati. Taragya loya gela prabhu charane prabhu tare samarpila sarupe rastane. Later, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami left home and took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. At that time, the Lord received him and placed him under the care of Sarup Damodar for spiritual enlightenment. Purport, in this regard, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami writes in Dilapa Kusumanjali, Jo mam dustara gihane jala moha kupat apara kramat sadhya sandra dayam budhi prakritya swari kripa raja jubi Udrityatma Sarojya Ninda Charana Prantan Prapadya Swayam Sri Damodara Sach Chakkaratam Aham Chaitanya Chandram Bhaje. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lotus Feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who by his unreserved mercy kindly saved me from household life, which is exactly like a blind well without water, and placed me in the ocean of transcendental joy under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains how Raghunath Das finally achieved the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and was placed under the care of Sarup Damodar, the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. You can imagine that great transcendental joy that Raghunath Das was experiencing, feeling so much separation from the Lord. This is a special mercy. Brahmanda Bharati Raghuchailo Charamo Ambar Hematolila Kailo Chaya Vatsar. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped Brahmananda Bharati's habit of wearing deerskin. The Lord thus enjoyed his pastimes continuously for 6 years, experiencing varieties of transcendental bliss. Eta koilo madhyalilaya sutragan. Experiencing varieties of transcendental bliss. I have thus given the codes of the Madhya Lila. Now please hear the pastimes of the Lord performed during the last 12 years. Purport, Srila Kaviraj Goswami, strictly following in the footsteps of Vyasa Deva, gives a synopsis of the Leelas of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has given such a description at the end of each canto. In the Adi Leela, he outlined the pastimes of the Lord. In the five stages of boyhood, leaving the dead details of the description to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now in this chapter, the pastimes that took place at the end of the Lord's life are summarized. These are described in Madhya Leela and Antya Leela. The rest of the pastimes have been described in codes in the second chapter of Madhya Leela. In this way, the author has gradually described both the Madhya Leela and Antya Leela. Oh. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Parijanas Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohi Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Leela Chapter 1 summarizes the latter pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Tat Sat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nanyata te kilo guru. Gateta karunatmana. Yasta asisa asaste nasa vritya savaivane.
O
Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, one who desires, indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit. In exchange for service. Purport, it is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arto jigyasu artarthi. The word artha refers to one who is physically distressed, and artarthi refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as Sukriti pious because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anya vilashita sunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to be a pure devotee is anya vilashita sunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Lord, personality of Godhead, supplies it. Yoga kshemam baham yaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruit to the Lord, because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, the Lord says, Patrang pushpang phalam tao yang yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti upahrittam asnami prayatatmanaha. Translation, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it, unquote. Thus a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flowers, this is good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees, because their desires are not purified. They are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Sarvo padi vinirmuktam tatparattena nirmalam. Only when one is fully freed from material desires can one be purified, and only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Harishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. This is the pure devotional platform. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 4, chapter 10. Canto 7 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. So, this verse is very important. After Narsingadeva offered a benediction to Prahlad, that you can have anything in this material world you want. Anything you want, I'll give you. But Prahlad refused, saying that if I ask for something material, then it reduces me to a businessman. I'm serving you with the desire of achieving something. The pure devotee simply wants to please the Lord. He has no personal material interest. It's the impure devotee, the mixed devotees, who they're desiring various material benedictions. So here the process of pure devotional service is very clearly explained. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example. Prabhupada also used the same example. About a person trying to stand with his feet in two different boats in the river. Eventually the boats are going to split apart, separate. So what happens is obviously when the two boats spread apart, the person will fall into the water. So this is the situation we're faced with. We're trying to accommodate material desires and our spiritual desires. There's a saying in the West, in English, to have your cake and eat it too. You want to have the cake on your table, at the same time you want to eat it. If you eat it, there's no cake going to be left. And if you want to just keep the cake and look at it, you can't eat it. So someone wants the material sense gratification, wants the material comforts, wants the material facilities. At the same time, they also want the ecstasy of pure love of Krishna, the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness. A contradiction. If somebody is purely Krishna conscious, then actually they'll become detached from material activities. In this regard, an example is given that sometimes people enter into the Grihastha ashram thinking that here's a good alternative. I can enjoy sense gratification. At the same time, I can be a pure devotee. And the acharyas explained that it's not the proper attitude to become a Grihastha. That for the devotees, they decide which ashram is more appropriate for them to serve Krishna. And the purpose is to please Krishna. They know that there's ultimately no happiness in material life. With that firm conviction, the pure devotee is simply serving Krishna. So, the grihastha devotee has got more activities that they do, but they also do that as a sacrifice with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. As soon as increasing the complexities of the material situation becomes a predominant desire, you'll find a conflict with pure devotional service. So there's a difference between pure devotees who are either sannyasis or grihasthas and other devotees who are mixed devotees. They're not purely engaging in Krishna service. Normally, you see, the materialists, they don't understand what a pure devotional service is at all. They don't have the slightest clue. Incomprehensible. So then they ask, well, you know, when we're preaching, they say, well, can you get married? Yeah. I said, yes, all right. And they think that that means that then, okay, you can, as long as you can have sense gratification, then it's going to be all right. But a devotee is always struggling, or at least maybe not be a struggle in the higher levels, but he's always engaging his senses in Krishna service. In whatever ashram of life the devotee finds himself. So this is a very essential point to understand, because we've seen that so many devotees have watered down their Krishna consciousness, diluted it. And a little dilution of pure devotion, it no longer is pure devotion. Pure devotion means pure devotion. As soon as it becomes impure devotion, then it's no longer pure devotion. If we are trying to simultaneously enjoy sense gratification, have all kinds of material comforts and facilities which are not necessary for devotional service, we want them because we want to enjoy it, because of material desire. And we are not actually able to dovetail those things in Krishna's service. We just want them because it's our lust, it's our greed, it's our desire. We find ourselves in this precarious situation, standing in the river with one foot in the boat of material desire and the other in the boat of devotional service. And then the two boats are going in different directions. The problem is we tend to fall into the water. In order to substantiate our material desires for added material facilities, if it's not a very clear Krishna conscious reason, if it doesn't come by Krishna's mercy, if we had to leave our devotional service in order to expand our material situation, then we had to find some excuse. Nobody likes me. Everybody's against me. Everybody's doing politics against me. The whole world's into politics. Our mind will come up with so many different excuses. And what is the conclusion? Do sense gratification. Leave devotional service and go to another situation, which is more compromised materially. So we have to be very careful. We have to be completely sincere, not to unnecessarily increase our material situation simply for the sake of sense gratification at the expense of our devotional service. We have to keep our devotional service as the priority in our life. Everything else is adjusted accordingly. So some circumstances are there. The grihasthas, they have to deal with many different situations, children, family, money, but they have their responsibility to actually always keep their attachment with Krishna, to not unnecessarily complicate the situations, to always be trying to engage everything in Krishna, engage rather everything in Krishna's service. So they're given more scope to engage the different senses in Krishna's service. But that doesn't mean it's a license just for sense gratification unlimitedly. It's a sacrifice, it's a yajna. There's also limitations in what a person can do, even in the grihastha ashram. If we lose sight of the goal of Krishna consciousness, then we'll be in difficulty. So for the devotees in any ashram, they all have the same, the pure devotees have the same desire, which is to please Krishna, to please Krishna's devotee. Now Prahlad, he's exhibiting this very clearly. He's offered, you can have anything you want. But it doesn't attract him an inch, a millimeter, not a bit. Rather, he says, why are you offering me these things? Being a materialistic person, born in a materialistic family, I could be allured by all these things. But I don't want anything except your pure devotional service. So Krishna told him, Nrsingadeva said, you have to become the king. Now after your father, you have to rule these demons. As a devotee king, you have to rule the demons. So, see the situation. So to be a king, he also has to get married. He has to do so many different things. But Prahlad never lost the sight, never lost the vision. What is the purpose of life? He always remained continually chanting the holy names. He wasn't attached. He was actually detached. He never gave up the devotional service of Krishna for a moment. Like Prahlad is very careful. When he's offered material facility, he doesn't jump on it. Oh, I can use it all for Krishna. So from his side, he simply wants to serve the Lord. If the Lord wants to give him something, why he has... That's another thing. He doesn't even accept it. He says, from my side, all I want is pure devotional service. If the Lord gives some facility to the devotee can use that in Krishna's service, but the devotee doesn't desire anything separate from devotional service. Sometimes the devotee desires that the Lord can be more nicely served, just like Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking about how he could do nicer service to the Lord if he had a deity, but he was only having Shaligram Shilas. And he slept every night under a different tree, hanging up his Shaligram Shilas in a wooden box tied with a silken cloth, tied from a branch of a tree he would sleep under. The Shaligram Shilas, when he woke up in the morning, or after taking rest, he woke up and opened up his box of Shaligram Shilas to do the puja. There he found that one of the Shaligram Shilas was missing. Instead, there was a small deity of Krishna, which is the Radharamana deity. So Krishna spontaneously manifested himself in the deity form so that his devotee could serve him. So in this way, the Lord, he can give himself to his devotee in different ways, so the devotee can serve the Lord. We need to be very careful, like Prahlad is, not to get distracted. This idea that I can enjoy all kinds of sense gratification, at the same time I can still be Krishna conscious, is not accepted. People that think, well, I can leave the temple and I can do materialistic activity and I can still be Krishna conscious, is a very difficult situation. Someone can be outside in the material world, but they cannot do material. Nobody can do materialistic activity. Everyone has to do devotional service. You have to do yukta vairagya. You cannot do bhoga and vairagya at the same time. It has to be yukta vairagya. We have to engage whatever we're doing in the service of Krishna. Unless we're very meticulous about that point, maya will dilute our devotion, and we'll miss the whole point of pure devotional service. So those people who are, those devotees who are very eager to accumulate money, to have a lot of distinction in the society of devotees, who neglect to chant the round simply out of lethargy, out of preoccupation with materialistic activities, many other qualities are there. Those devotees are actually being robbed of their jewel of pure devotional service. If they had it, then they're being robbed of it by maya. If they didn't have it, well, they're being robbed because they could get it. It's like waiting for them to have, instead it's being stolen, so they won't get it. It's like an inheritance that someone should get, but before it's received, it's stolen by someone. So, this is a very interesting point. Today we read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, being visited by people from all over the universe, and how he was glorified by the devotees in Jagannath Puri. Also how Prahlad prayed to the Lord simply to give him pure devotional service, not to be like a businessman. We should be very careful not to let our devotion degenerate to a business deal with Krishna. In South India and all over India, many people go to the deity and pray for something material, say, if I get this, I'll give you that. So Prahlad is criticizing that that's something like a business deal. That he doesn't want to ask for anything from Krishna in return for his service. If you give your service to Krishna without any condition, then in reciprocation, Krishna also gives himself to you. You can actually purchase Krishna with pure devotion. But with mixed devotion, then Krishna will pay you off. Okay, you want money, you want this, you want that, take it. So Krishna gets off easy. But if you give pure devotion, then Krishna thinks, that what can I give? This devotee is completely giving himself to me, so I had to reciprocate, because he promised, Jayjata man prapadyante tang sataiva bhajamyaham. I reciprocate with the devotion of my devotee. According to how they approach me, I also reciprocate with them. So when the devotee is fully giving himself to Krishna, then the only way Krishna thinks that is possible for him to repay is he fully gives himself to the devotee. So if you want Krishna, then you have to give yourself to Krishna. And then you can get Krishna. The price to get Krishna is yourself. If you don't give your full self to Krishna, you won't get Krishna. If you want something else other than Krishna, Krishna will give that first, because that's easy, that's cheap. Krishna is everything. To get Krishna, then you give yourself to Krishna, and Krishna will reciprocate. That's His cause, His mercy. So Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't want anything. What's the use of? He already saw what happened. His father had the kingdom of the entire universe. He had unimpeded health and long life, unlimited sense gratification, power. Still his father was never satisfied. He had everything that he wanted. More than what anybody could have. He had the entire universe just in his hand. He wasn't satisfied. So this should be enough to prove to anyone, it was more than enough to prove to Prahlad, that there's no satisfaction in the material pursuit of happiness. You see, America, there's the one of the rights guaranteed in the Constitution is the pursuit of happiness. But pursuit of happiness by material means a guaranteed frustration, that people will be guaranteed to be frustrated if they pursue their happiness through material means. If we pursue our happiness through devotional service, by giving Krishna our devotion, by trying to please Krishna, then we become happy. But if we pursue our happiness through material means, the Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's the 5th or 7th chapter, the first half of the Bhagavad Gita anyway, it very clearly mentions that the cause of our suffering is desiring sense gratification. That is the beginning of our suffering. The beginning starts as soon as we desire to enjoy material sense gratification. And the end of suffering is when we no longer desire sense gratification. When we desire to serve Krishna, then we become satisfied. That is the mystery. That is the sublime reality. And it has been revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Great souls like Prahlad, they can realize it, but otherwise it is very difficult to come to that understanding. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can quickly come to understand this sublime point that we should simply be offering our service to Krishna. We should simply be practicing pure devotional service in whatever condition of life, whatever ashram of life, whatever situation we're in. We should always be offering our devotion to Krishna in the way prescribed by the previous acharyas. We can't concoct something. We have to follow in the authorized way. It's a concoction if we think that we'll enjoy sense gratification without engaging it in Krishna's service. And we'll do a little devotion also. Little sense grat, little devotion. And we're going to get pure devotional response from Krishna. Doesn't work that way. We have to do pure devotional service. We can do it as a grihastha, we can do it as a sannyasi, we can do it as a brahmacharya, but we have to do pure devotional service. And in the beginning that's a yajna, in the end it's complete nectar. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Questions? Yes?
You were discussing about having a business arrangement with Krishna. Some said to me that making the problem important. Since Krishna is the man of one's heart, if you're making a profit on this kind of vessel, it's Krishna. Then you have those examples in which you kind of turn to persons who are very wealthy and they also do business like they're very good.
Rupa Goswami was very rich. He gave 50% of his income to Krishna. Kulavesha Sridhar was also very poor. He gave 50% of his income to Krishna. They all were leading their lives according to the guidelines given by their gurus, by the scripture. And their purpose was that Krishna would be pleased. They did their material activities as a duty and did their devotional activities. They did the material activities as a duty, but in such a way that they would be used in their devotional life. So in this way, their activities are always connected with Krishna. There wasn't a dichotomy that they just did something that was unauthorized, just with the idea that, well, a little sense gratification doesn't matter. I can do a little bit, even though it's not Krishna conscious, I can do a little bit because I'm also doing a little bit of devotion. I can smoke a few joints once in a while, it's alright, or I could, you know, it's alright if I have a little illicit sex, because anyway, I'm also chanting, so it's okay. For grihasthas, there's rules how to be a grihastha, how to have sex life, how to do business, how to do everything. There's some principle. And the devotee acts accordingly because his purpose is to please Krishna. So although some people may be rich, some may be poor, but they're all doing their activities with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. We have to see there's a categorical difference between doing your activities to please Krishna and being successful at it. A person may be very successful materially, may be very rich, but if he's still doing his activities with the purpose of pleasing Krishna and doesn't do things which are not conducive, you know, not authorized in Krishna consciousness, he can be a pure devotee, even though he's materially rich. Even one can be very poor, but if he thinks, well, let me do it, just like you hear sometimes devotees say, well, I mean, there are devotees who are, you know, not having children. They're doing their rhythm system, or they're doing taking contraceptives, or they're doing different things because they want to enjoy. And they think, anyway, I'm chanting, I'm a devotee, it's all right. It's not possible to really practice only once in a month. To people doing all kinds of things. And they're living with it by just saying and doing a little bhakti and a little Krishna. And in the end, you see these people are put in complete anxiety. So we should be very clear that it's not pure devotional service. It's mixed devotional service. And it's not they're not properly situated. It's not a bona fide, authorized path by the acharyas. They have to accept it as maya. You see, if we accept maya as maya, then we can start to cure it. If you think that your disease is your natural state of life, then you're not going to try to cure the disease. It's like people that have cancer, or tuberculosis, they keep coughing. And they're smoking all the time. Someone says, you know, you have a very bad cough. You ever check yourself? No, I've always had it. You know, they should check a doctor and they find they got cancer because they just didn't take it serious because they're always coughing and they thought it was like my natural state of life. We get into doing maya, and because a little bit we're getting shelter from Krishna because we're doing some devotion, then we don't take it serious. But actually, our Maya is gradually, the weeds are growing. What's happening is that we're allowing weeds to get watered like anything. And at one point, that weed can grow enough that it'll smother our devotional creeper. And we've seen this even in, you know, so-called big devotees, that they've allowed the weeds to be watered. We have to be very careful when we're a gardener. You're a florist sometimes. I don't know what you're doing now, but when we're growing our flowers, we have to keep the unnecessary plants out of the flower patch. Otherwise, they can smother out the whole flower patch. And what's happening is that if we compromise with our pure devotional service, we're giving some of our energy to weeds. And maybe in the beginning, the weeds start off small, but after a while, they're going to grow and grow and grow, and eventually the weed can smother our actual devotional creeper. And this is what you see, so many devotees. In the beginning it was a little bhakti and a little bhukti. And after a while, the bhukti took over. And that's the difference between Kolavacha Sridhar and many of these Nityasiddha devotees who are wealthy in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, is that although they are doing their material activity, they were not actually doing sense gratification. I mean, they were not doing unrelated sense gratification. They were dovetailing everything in Krishna's service. They ate Krishna prasadam. If they did their material activity, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate. But he would finish, he'd use his a position in order to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He'd spend the whole night writing Vaishnava songs and books, and he'd go out and preach, and he'd do so many different things. He had 13 children. You know, it was very obvious he wasn't practicing any contraceptives or anything. He had a lot of energy. He dovetailed in Krishna's service. He had a lot of children. And he engaged his children in Krishna's service. And he also realized Krishna. He realized his sarup. He realized everything. So one has to be completely honest with Krishna, completely straightforward. And you have to engage in your activities in the way authorized by the acharyas. As soon as you want to do something that's not authorized, then we are going to be in, we'll be watering weeds, we'll be putting our feet in two different boats, we're going to be put, eventually down the road, we're going to be in difficulty. So we shouldn't think that because some of Lord Chaitanya's devotees were rich, that they were not pure devotees. Many, a person can be rich and that's the same, only use his money for Krishna. He can maintain his family and do his business in a bona fide way, and use according to the proper way, he can use his money for Krishna. He can remain in the transcendental position. If he sees everything as Krishna's property, if he thinks it's mine, and this is for me and this is for Krishna, as soon as we start to divide, this is my Krishna conscious not life and this is my Maya life, then we're in two boats. So our point is that Krishna has given us, okay, it's not possible to be a brahmachari or a sannyasi for everybody in Kali Yuga. It's not even recommended. So Krishna has given the way how you can practice devotional service and live in this material situation. But there's this very clear way how to do it. And if we don't follow the way we practice the way it's prescribed, then we'll be watering weeds. So we should take, you have to minutely see how those, there's a difference between, you know, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was completely detached from his material situation, completely sold out to Krishna, at the same time he put on a facade of being a materialist, and someone like, you know, Govardhan and Hiranya Mazumdar, who were the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami, who put on a facade of being devotees, but who had a lot of material attachments, and they didn't want their son to be a full-time devotee. They didn't want this, that they kept deprogramming him and kidnapping him. At the same time, they put on a show that they were pure devotees, sending him money, thinking, how will he be happy without material comfort? So they're sending him money, thinking that, you know, he has to have material comfort to be happy. So that's why Bhagavad Chaitanya said that they're Vaishnava pride. They're almost Vaishnavas. But they still have misconception. They think that unless you have all these material things, you can't be happy. They're attached to those things. Where Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he had all the opposite. He was completely detached. He had it, so he used it in Krishna's service, but he wasn't at all attached to it. In 1 second, he could just throw the whole thing away. In ecstasy of Krishna, he could tear up his whole place. Because Krishna gave him this wealth, he didn't just throw it away and artificially be a market vairagya. He used it in Krishna's service. He built temples, he had the deity worship, Lakshmi Narayan temples, so many different things. But he actually wasn't attached to the opulence he had. He just used it, he had it, so he used it for Krishna's service. So there are Nitya Siddha devotees who are very opulent. And there are other devotees who are mixed. And so Pundarik Vidyaniti had love of Krishna, and Govardhan Hiranyamazumdar didn't have that level of love of Krishna. They didn't have love of Krishna. They had some devotion. Maybe eventually by Lord Chaitanya's mercy they got love of Krishna. But at that point, they were still in the Manorat. They were blessed by Krishna, they were getting some results for their spiritual activities. But they didn't have the level, they weren't Nitya Siddhas like the others. According to Lord Chaitanya's explanation, Hare Krishna.